I'm Joan Curtis. I'm going to do the sermon today. And I know Pastor Debbie usually begins her sermon with a scripture from the Bible. But today I'm beginning my sermon with a humorous little story about a pastor, a lion, and a prayer. One day, a pastor is walking through the jungle, and he comes upon a hungry lion. Just as that lion is getting ready to attack, the pastor kneels and says, "Please, Lord, if you can hear me, please instill the Holy Spirit in this beast's heart." The lion stops dead in his tracks as a bright light begins to glow around the lion. He folds his paws in prayer. He looks up to the sky, and he goes, "Thank you, God, for this meal." Sorry about that. This morning's message, I hope to explain the Holy Spirit, what it is not, what it is, and how it can function in your life. Even as children, we all understand the concept as God the Father, because we understand a Father, and we understand Jesus the Son, because we understand a Son. But God the Holy Spirit is unclear. A picture doesn't come immediately to our minds about what that all means. We know it's the third person of the Trinity, but again, what it means is kind of vague. Is the Holy Spirit a concept? Is it a force? Like in Star Wars. George Lucas, by the way, who wrote Star Wars, he was raised a Methodist. Yes, yes. In the movie Star Wars, remember the swamp scene when Obi-Wan Kenobi is really distraught? Not Obi-Wan, Luke Skywalker. And Obi-Wan Kenobi says to him, "Luke, all you have to do is use the Force to fight evil." Well, I promise you, the Holy Spirit is not some cosmic mystical force. And we don't need special powers to tap into it. The Holy Spirit is not a what, but it's a who. It is part of the Godhead with a personality and a distinct function because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit has been metaphorically described as a communication link between God and his children. The voice for God who speaks to us, reminding us we're never alone and we are loved. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit restores integrity into our minds. It's important to know he lives inside of each one of us and is at work among us. He's aware of the knowledge that lies beyond our perception. Most importantly, the Holy Spirit helps us to make decisions. Throughout life, whether we be children, teenagers, young or older adults, the one consistent thing we all must do daily is make decisions. Decisions that impact us as individuals, it impacts our family, our nation, and the world. Psychology Today magazine says, on average, per person, we make 35,000 decisions each day. I can't wrap my head around making that many decisions. No way. When making decisions, we usually know what's best for us. We think we can figure it out because usually our reasoning is really very good. We're intelligent. We rarely need to consult any other person or even God. We convince ourselves by saying, we're clever. We use sound logic. We can analyze how every situation, how every decision will affect us. Usually we predetermine what we want as an outcome, and we try so hard to make it happen. So I ask, how's that reasoning working for us? In this world, we're still suffering. We all experience anxiety, stress, and fear is rampant. Maybe it's time to recalculate our decision-making. Why? Because we have forgotten and are not using the one mechanism, the one device, the one God-given fail-safe that's available to each of us. If used, it will help every one of us live a life filled with more love, more joy, and more peace. The mechanism is the Holy Spirit, and it will always lead us back to God. We can choose to base our lives on the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and live remembering we were created by God to extend His love. If we live like this, we will live a life open to joy, peace, and forgiveness. Yet in this physical world, with all of its suffering and its complexities, who we really are often gets pushed aside as we attempt to navigate this insanity that we live in. The problem is we are so into our heads. We're so into analyzing. We're thinking all the time. We're projecting. We're judging. We can't even get out of our own way. There's no room for God. Sometimes it seems we would much rather build our own world and our own kingdoms than take the time to remember or rediscover God's world. Listening to the Holy Spirit instead of our egos is a matter of a reawakening to the awareness that we have this inner guide. We don't have to depend on ourselves alone. Many philosophers, theologians, and poets have acknowledged the Holy Spirit, but they've used different descriptions. Socrates and Plato spoke of this inner teacher as the inner genius. Confucius called it superior man. Paul of Corinthians referred to this teacher as the indwelling spirit. Jesus was the voice for God for 33 years. And after his ascension into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to continue his work. In John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The poet Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "There is a guidance in each one of us, and by lowly listening, we will hear the right words." Lowly listening? Could it be that easy? Yes, it can. But only when we are being silent, because the Holy Spirit will not scream over the chaos of our minds. It's a still, small voice and can only be heard in quiet. Let me give you an example. Civil rights leader, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he once told a story of being terribly afraid. His life and those of his family had been threatened. One night, he could not sleep. He got up, and he went and he sat at the kitchen table. He was thinking, maybe he should call off the civil rights march. There in the middle of the night, in the dark, he began to pray. He asked, "What am I supposed to do?" Now, this is a good prayer. Like all prayer, it's asking, but it's also a way of saying, "Holy Spirit, help me. I want to see this the way you do." King then sat quietly for a bit, and there in the middle of the night, despite his terror, he said he heard a voice. The voice said, "Do not be afraid." He got up with a renewed sense of peace and went on with the march despite the threats that were converging all around him. We can think of the Holy Spirit as our right mind. The Bible said, "May the mind be in you that was also in Jesus Christ." When John 15:19 encourages us to be in this world but not of it, John is reminding us that to be in this world, we have two choices. The first choice, and not a very good choice, is to live our lives according to our egos, thereby basing all of our decision-making on what I like to call the unholy trinity of sin, guilt, and fear. By fear, I mean that fear we all experience when we feel powerless or think others are perceiving us as weak. It scares us, and it always leads us to uncertainty or worry, anxiety. If we live like this, we'll live in that storybook world of Chicken Little, who is afraid to face every new day. Utilizing sin, guilt, and fear to make decisions only protects our egos, and it builds this massive wall, a defense system around us. It blocks against our identity of who we really are, children of God. It closes our hearts to love, and it diminishes our ability to receive all that God wants to share with us. Calling upon the Holy Spirit is highly individualized. We all come from wildly different backgrounds. We come from different parents, different cultures, different religions, and for some people, no religion at all. There is one commonality, though, that we all experience when making decisions. It's either we come from a place of fear or we come from a place of love. You've all witnessed people or someone coming from fear. How do they respond? They double down. They get angry. They get verbally aggressive. They raise their voices, and they try to take the blame from them and put it on you or someone else. And they become angry because they're coming from fear. The fear they will lose face. The fear they will appear weak. The fear that they may not be loved. When another person angers us, what do? We usually feel justified to attack them back, whether it be verbally, sometimes physically, and in our world today, sadly to say, even with a gun. If we do this, we are listening to our egos. That little devil that sits on our shoulder from Sunday school, remember that wrong-minded thinking? It's all the same. The ego always justifies why we are right. It tells us we're right. Tells us the other person or the other group of people are wrong. We think if they or he or she could only see it my way, they would understand. Or the ego says, don't forgive them. Get revenge. Destroy the other person. Destroy their personality. Or even destroy the other country. The second choice is, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll always respond for God and who we really are, with our right minds and with love. Again, remember the Holy Spirit is God, alive and present and working among us and within us. Before reacting to situations where we feel the need to defend ourselves and to be right, we can ask ourselves, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Or ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? Or say, Holy Spirit, please help me see this another way. Then take the time to listen, because the Holy Spirit always speaks for God and will always come from a place of love. There are also other situations that happen where the Holy Spirit can be of help to us. This physical world is full of temptations, and that's why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Folks, that's what the Holy Spirit is here to help us with. It's during those times when we feel tempted, maybe about food or a bad habit or spending money or any other of our other human indulgences, when we are being led into temptation and want to be delivered from evil, first stop for a moment. And in your mind, ask the Holy Spirit for direction. It's like using a GPS to recalculate your thinking. But surely the Holy Spirit has more information than a GPS. And I promise you won't end up on some lonely road that you don't recognize. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there another way to respond to this temptation? So the next time you feel defensive or afraid in a situation because someone is making you feel unworthy or angry or you're tempted or you're indecisive about a situation, call upon the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want to see this the way you do. Open your heart. Allow yourself to be quiet for a few moments. Ask as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. Remember, he asked, what am I supposed to do? Listening to the Holy Spirit takes practice. But as with any exercise, the more you do, the easier it gets. The Holy Spirit reminds us to return our minds to God because in God's truth is wisdom that exists beyond our natural knowledge or abilities. Now, I'll bet you're thinking, if I try asking the Holy Spirit, how will I know if I get the right answer? In the beginning, we'll usually always hear our wrong mind the first. The other day I asked the Holy Spirit, my first answer was, don't bother me with this trivial stuff. I said, wait, that's the ego. We always hear the wrong mind first because it shouts the loudest. First, recognize how the ego tries to drown out the Holy Spirit. It will say things that support our egos, such as, he's wrong, she's wrong, or don't listen to them, or you don't have to do it if you don't want to do that. Not wanting to do something is the big one, especially if it involves facing a personal fear. So we justify, we rationalize, and we don't see that these are tricks of wrong-minded thinking. It's the ego's way to get us to do the wrong thing. Be aware of its tricks. Eventually, the ego's voice will fade, and from the Holy Spirit, you will hear or sense or have a knowing of the right thing to do. When we get the right answer, we get that gut feeling, knowing that we're doing the right thing. A sense of peace will replace that sense of doubt, the doubt that we were experiencing. We'll understand what we must do, what we need to say, and often what we need not to say, and we'll know how to respond correctly. It will be a gentle remembering of who we really are. Men, women, children created by God who has never left us and is patiently, patiently waiting to share his perfect peace, love, and joy. Now, in conclusion, through the Holy Spirit, we learn to develop reliance on the Lord and less on our own wisdom and ability. The important thing the Holy Spirit does for us is to help us to learn to think like God. We come from a higher place of love and not from anger. We begin to feel more love for ourselves and more love for one another. We once again remember the Holy Spirit is the voice of God that is within our hearts and speaks for our real selves. So perhaps this week, we might all practice calling on the Holy Spirit. I'm sure there'll be ample opportunities afforded us, you think? Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to call upon the Holy Spirit to decide for us. Let our voice of judgment and hurt fade, and in its place, let the voice of heaven and its message be heard. As children of God, may we respond with love. Help us to demonstrate that Jesus lives in us through forgiveness and loving all people as he loved all people. Amen.